gonna see, won't we? It's Sunday night. We're live. Subject's Balaam's ass. A good Sunday night. A good Sunday night subject. Amazing ass. After all the dumb talking asses that have been heard today, it's nice to spend a little time with a smart ass. Numbers chapter 22. Page 193, if you have a Bible like mine. Oh, we're going to Tulsa, the 22nd of June. Yeah. Folks in Tulsa better let me know they want us there. The way you do that is you get on the phone and make a reservation. You say, I'm dying to pay $100 a plate for a meal that I'm sure isn't worth it, but everything else will be. And I'm going to come eager to be talked out of some more. That's the idea. The 22nd at the Western Hotel. Where's Craig Lamp? My Lord, he can only work 3 days a week. Doesn't take me long to wear him out. He used to make me think he traveled around the world, the reason he could never get anything done. I think he just slept. Seems like I haven't seen Craig for a month. He showed up at Sunday service. As I was saying, we're going to Tulsa, June 22nd. The reason I wanted Craig is he has the details. He carries the details around. Craig jumped over defense. The head before the tail, I hope. The detail comes in last. And he has the details, but I think it's the Western Hotel on Williams Center. 12 noon, June 22nd. Got that, Voices of Faith, in case they ask you? 12 noon, June 22nd. If we normally go from 2 to 6:30, then I guess we'd go from 12 to 4:30. That'd give us a little more time to get on Doc Star 1, Doc Star 2, and get back here in time for Sunday service the 23rd. I think before we peruse Balaam's ass, it's a good, safe teaching term. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I wasn't going to do. Now, you want to know what I was going to do?
Yes, sir.
It's what I'm not going to do tonight. I think I don't want to do that either. I think I'm just going to break us out of the mold tonight. I'm just going to break out of the mold. Not be so traditional as I normally am. Predictable. Selah. Breaking on out. Now, I think before I peruse Balaam's ass and don't do what I was going to do and do what I wasn't going to do, I should hear from Tulsa. I sure don't want to go if they don't want to come to the banquet with me. And I'd also like to know where those people were that didn't come to the king's house this morning. I want the report right now. We must really be on the right track. A few weeks ago, I had three dead people in the service. This morning, I had three nuts show up. I'd rather have the dead ones. You can bring the dead ones back. We had three real nuts in church trying to get in today, causing trouble. We haven't had that. You remember when we used to have a nut a week? I thought, you know, things have gotten kind of dull. We haven't had any nuts show up. Now, when I was a boy, everywhere my dad went, the pastor, there's always a nut in the church. Otis, oh boy. And, you know, Emery in the next one. Praise those boys. He'd go up to the pianist every Sunday and say, "Go home with me, Gladys. I'll feed you pumpkin." The one in the church in Fresno is in on the front seat with binoculars and look at the pastor with binoculars. Then when somebody come in late, he'd turn around and look at him with binoculars. So when I came to Glendale for the first few years, we had another week. We haven't had any for a long time. Three of them showed up today. You always tell when God's about to do something really great, the nuts descend. He shakes the tree and gets it clean. Something good's going to happen, I'm telling you. Something really good's going to happen. And my church is getting real good at handling them. I didn't even know they were there till I got home. I mean, I was already home and just really having a good time. And somebody called and told me there was some nut calling me names, trying to get an audience with our people. Something great's going to happen. Three nuts in one day. So, it ought to be a good week. And I want you folks in Tulsa to get on the phone and call me, and you that didn't come to church this morning, see what you missed, including the 30 minutes that I blacked out. The subject was too hot for you to handle. That's the only time since I've been here I've gone that long off air. Sammy's happy tonight. Don't blame him. He doesn't have to sit beside Craig for a change. Now, all of you that didn't show, are you figuring out that when I don't see Craig, I take it out on him on the air? Where in the hell is Craig? If I can think of something else nasty to say, I'll say it. See, there's a phone number, N37, right there, waiting for Craig. Hope he has a bellyache tonight. In the meantime, you that didn't come to King's House 1 this morning, the phone rang right where Craig's supposed to sit. Right where Craig's supposed to sit. What's the matter with you cameramen? You got four cameras pointing the same direction. Can't you give Chris a little help back there? My Lord of mercy. The very phone that's supposed to be tended by Craig went off like a fire engine. Well, now that we've all gotten serious, you that didn't come to the King's House this morning, you call and apologize. And tell me you'll do penance for being there 7 Sundays in a row. And let's start right now taking the bookings for next Sunday. And we got quite a ways to go on the 3rd million. And as I preached this morning from Gideon, you don't cure iphitis because you have a victory or because you get spirit filled. You still have to keep pressing on with faith. We'll get down to business tonight. I'm going to do what I wasn't going to do, and I'll do what I was going to do, which is normal. But I want the phones to jam. If I don't see them jam in a hurry, everyone except the one Craig's supposed to attend, I'll just get up and go home. And you'll never hear me do what I wasn't going to do. Got that? Let's get on with it then. Get on the phone. Songs I want to know. I want every phone jammed with people talking to me. And you Tulsa folks, you got to make a reservation. You got to call and say, I want to come to that $100 plate banquet at the Westin Hotel on the 22nd of June at 12 noon Saturday. And I'm going to come with my $100 in my hand. $100 plate banquet. Here's $1,000 from Los Angeles. $1,000 from DeQuincy, Louisiana. $1,000 from Norwalk. $1,000 from Burlington, North Carolina. $1,000 from Yucaipa. And $1,000 from Richardson, Texas. Play it again. One more time. Well, I guess I could go home and get one. Play something good's about to happen. Craig was supposed to bring my hat. That's why I was upset. Don't take any more calls in here. Let them all pick up at King's House 1. No, you take one more call, that's all. One more call, that's all you can take. In here. Play something good one more time. When are you coming back to Dallas? Tell Doc to get his bun down here. You dress my buns properly. Precious buns. Precious buns. Tell him he hasn't suffered until he goes through our summer weather. Keep teaching on Balaam's ass. Detroit, Michigan. We're waiting for you in Michigan for a banquet. I'll tell you, Nashville and Michigan are running about even. Whichever one has the most tentative reservations, that's where I'm going. Dallas, Texas, first-time viewer. Can you tell me what he believes in? I didn't ask you. I mean, you know, you didn't have to tell me what you believe in to watch me. I like secrets. Furthermore, if anybody could tell you what they believe in a 3-minute phone call, what in the hell would you ever listen to a dummy like that for? What religion is he? None. Hate religion. I told them to keep watching. You told them all they needed to know if they'd watch. Well, you just got it. I try to be Christian without being religious. I'll get about 100 questions, and that's what it was designed to do. This person says, I have an eye problem and bring binoculars to the service. About 2 months ago, one of the ushers told me not to use them because it might disturb you. It would. I wouldn't use them all the time, just when you ride on the board and take a dive, etc. Would it disturb you if I were to use them, Doc? Yeah. Sit on the last row, the top of the balcony, if you bring binoculars. It's the only place I will allow binoculars to be used. Last row, top of the balcony. And then once you put them on, you never move. Sorry I wasn't there this morning. You better be. I'm checking in. You've really taught me patience. Good. Good. I don't know why I finish everything in one day. We were at the Church of the Ball and Hoop today, Anaheim says.
Preachers, they must.
Now, just before my face revolved, someone from Anaheim responded to my search for my lost sheep today. Said they were at the Church of the Ball and Hoop today. I don't know why I can't teach my saints. If they can't do better than that, just go to a bar. Do you less damage. What is it about people that they have an inevitable urge to slum? But I have another subject tonight. I decided I would pick up with Promise 44. I was going to teach on Balaam's ass, but I've decided that you have heard more asses speak today than any one man can stand, and I'm just going to save Balaam's ass for another day. There are some things worth saving. So, don't think you missed anything. We'll just come back to it later. I'm going to go to Promise 44, which is what I didn't intend to do, and not do what I intended to do, which was teach on Balaam's ass. And we've had three good days with Balaam's ass. Haven't we? Four is a number that covers the whole world. I'm going to save it till tomorrow night. Now, go to page 791 if you have a Bible like mine. It's Sunday, and you're going to hear something rare for television on Sunday. I'm going to teach from the Bible. Hasn't happened too often today. You've been leered at, grinned at, cried at, condemned at, judged at, rehashed at. I'm going to teach them the Bible. Now, this is not Promise 44, but it's en route to it. Page 791, and turn the lights down. That's right. Turn the lamp off in your room and... Half of Dallas just went dark. Chapter 39 of Isaiah just sort of interested me while I was heading toward Promise 44. I have been known to tell government agencies to fly a kite. You know that, don't you?
Yes, sir.
We don't have those battles anymore. You know, we've won them and passed them. But every so often I have to remind people that are coming new in our church why we take the stance that we take. You see, Christians are always the establishment cramming down your throat Romans 13. Romans 13 says, the powers that be are ordained of God. And therefore, a good Christian submits, accepting them as ordained of God. They're not a source of fear to the good man. They're a source of fear to the lawless man. It's always made me very glad that I was born in the United States, because the United States is a unique country. Never happened before. In preparation for the American Revolution, Rutherford wrote his vast study that attacked the prevailing viewpoint that the king was law. And instead he said, law is king. John Locke wrote about the social contract, and that set the intellectual frame for the first country the world ever saw, the first government ever created by the people, for the people, of the people. The first government not allowed to exist without prior acceptance of a condition precedent that certain rights cannot be given by government, taken away by government, are inalienable. In the great constitutional debates, one of the primary voices argued that the Constitution only allowed the government the powers that were named therein. And to append a Bill of Rights that suggested, by implication, that they could do something other than what was delineated in the Constitution, raise the danger that they might have powers other than what's contained in the Constitution. More simply stated, the argument was, don't add a Bill of Rights that restrains government from doing certain things when the things you're restraining them from have not been given to them in the original document. That shows the state of mind that they weren't to do anything other than what could be derived from the Constitution itself. Because Jefferson was around and some other men smart enough to know that government has an insatiable appetite to expand and rationalize its expansion, the colonies wouldn't buy it, and they wouldn't sign the Constitution, the social contract that brought to birth the government of these United States, without the Bill of Rights being appended. In short, there was not a king, a bureaucrat, an officer of the government to give freedom. Freedom existed, had been bought with the blood of the Revolutionary War. They wouldn't allow government to exist, the state to be created. And there were five good reasons for creating it: establish justice, the others that are in the preamble that are reeled off as the reasons for government. They wouldn't let it happen without first representing certain rights that come from a source outside of, higher than government. And a social contract allowed the government to come into existence. And that social contract was between the people and the government that was created. And any breach of that contract raised this question of the right of that government to exist. That paper barrier stood there between the tyranny that government reaches for and the freedom that people had won with their blood and their weapons and their lives in many cases. God, therefore, ordained a unique country. so unique, and it's one of the many arguments why I say, I don't see how anybody can really believe that God controls history and that the Bible is His inspired word and not know that you must find the United States somewhere in this book. There never was anything like the United States. A country created by social contract that allowed the government to come into existence by right of contractual limitation with the people. The Magna Carta that people look to is the, and it's very important in the history of the breakthroughs toward freedom. But it was given and taken away 30-some times by the king. Freedom became a grant of the king, an expression of his benevolent largesse. This country was created differently. And it is a society where the law is king, and the highest law of the land is the Constitution. Therefore, unlike Rome of the New Testament, which was the scene when Romans 13 was written, or England, where the king is law, or was at the time, the law was king. And under the law, the agency of government and the people, by mutual agreement, agreed to bow before that law in the sense of submission to its terms. That had never happened. Now, if you believe Romans 13, God ordained the governments that were before that and others that have come after that. But in this country, the same scripture says He ordained this country. Now, in England, the representative of the king was the law. And the common law was the body of laws passed through the whole history of the king of the English people. You couldn't put all those laws in this room. A library wouldn't hold them. This country was born with just one simple little document, with limitations appended, the Bill of Rights. That became king. In ancient Rome, the agent of Caesar was the law. In this country, no agent, no person anywhere is the law. He acts under the color of the law. The law is king. And I used to take on church people when I would take my stand for the church against unconstitutional behavior by government agencies. I said, I'm acting exactly in the frame of Romans 13. The law is ordained by God. This country came into existence as a constitutional republic. I am only supporting what God ordained when I'm acting constitutionally. And the Supreme Court can decide those issues. When some bureaucrat shows up treading into First Amendment territory, he's the lawbreaker. I don't want to resist him in an unlawful manner, but there's a lawful manner to call him to task. He has become the one that fears what God ordained. What God ordained was the Constitution, because the powers that be are ordained of God. And we've taken our stance on a lot of things. Some bureaucrat comes along and says, finance and religion or worship or ecclesiastical activity are separate matters. Baloney. The very first falling out in the Bible had to do with offerings to God. The last word of the Old Testament is curse in the King James, because they didn't obey God in their financial relationship to Him. You can't separate your finances from God if you understand religion as it's brought out in the Old and New Testament. Worship is First of all, a value judgment word, worth, ship, two words contracted to one. And worth is expressed through money. And we have crusaded. And it just dawns on me, I haven't said recently to people, why did I have taken the stance? The church got on the defensive saying, we must show everything to government to prove that we're clean. Do you know what that presumes? That the government's in any position to judge cleanliness. You know why Paul told Christians not to go to war against other Christians? Not because he thought Christians would never have controversy. He knew they would. But the premise was, don't you know the church is going to judge the world? And what kind of testimony is it to the world to say, there's no one fair and just enough within the church to resolve the controversy? We have to go to the world that the church is supposed to be the judge of to get them to resolve a church matter or a matter between members of a church. It's the presumption, philosophically. Christianity needs to be more philosophical. It's become vacant-headed and empty-headed. My position has always been, take any square inch, any square foot, any square yard, any square mile of church people, even the traditional Christians, with all of their problems of being misled by blind guides and trying to substitute their righteousness for God's righteousness, nevertheless, straight across the board, from the cults to the Catholics, Protestants, and Jews, you take any believing participant by square inch, centimeter, yard, foot, mile, there's more honesty than in any government office in the world. That just happens to be a fact. I will never allow the presumption to rule that a government is in any position to do a priori judgment on the moral character and the honesty of a church. I pastor a congregational polity church. My members are a better judge of right and wrong than some outside government force. That's been the presumption. People said, if you have nothing to hide, why don't you open up? I fight to the death for the right to hide nothing, rather than allow the lesser to think it's in a position to judge the greater. The presumption that government can be more honest than a church is something I will not yield on. We didn't abolish the presidency because of Nixon. Then why abolish church leadership because of Jimmy Jones or the Palatine Fathers of the Catholic Church in Washington, D.C.? There is an ever-present warfare going on. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Every city in this world has got princes of Satan assigned to rule it. And the only opening to the light of eternity is the body of Christ on earth. The only opening to eternity are those who in faith, wherever they may be, have that position with God because He honors their faith with a gift of His Spirit, which is an honest spirit, by the way. I will not yield that point. And God, keep a few of us alive like that. Because the voice of Antichrist is the false prophet, the voice that makes Antichrist take over is the false prophet whose primary message is take the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast is a number in Scripture, but there is a higher philosophic meaning. The reason that David was censored by God and the plague hit the people for taking a census of the people and numbering the people is because in the Bible, numbers means ownership or possession or control. And without God ordering David to take the census, for him to presume to do it was to intrude into the territory and give the implication that he controlled or possessed those people that had been assigned to his shepherdship by God. I believe in a literal mark of the beast, but I can tell you what its philosophic meaning is. Control by Antichrist, the substitute deliverer on earth. And the false prophet in the last days will cause people, small and great, free and bond, to take his mark, to accept his control. And you can tell as the last day approaches whether or not that false prophet who looks like a lamb and has all the trappings of Jesus as an agency of Christ, you can tell he gets his message from the dragon, the book of Revelation's image of it, the devil. You can tell he gets his message from the devil because he's going to preach. Take the mark. A lot of people grew up in the church. How many of you think that Antichrist, always thought Antichrist is going to make you take his mark? Well, the Bible in the book of Revelation says the false prophet causes you to do it. Antichrist cannot come to power without a church that sells out on its Lord. That's what our wars have been about. We don't, you know, we've won so many, we don't have to do it anymore. But I haven't forgotten how. Now, here's another verse of Scripture that shows this premise. I just sort of saw it going. I haven't taught on it in a long time. Had no intention of saying anything I've said, so whoever needed it, there you got it, free. 39th chapter. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, supreme ruler. Babylon was encroaching on the world. He had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. Hezekiah was glad to get the letter from the great king of Babylon and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Now, if the Rockefellers would be honest, and the Federal Reserve Board would tell you, and the banking families of the world, and the powerful private foundations would tell you the secret of their power economically, they would tell you it's secrecy. Their secret is that it's secret. Now, stupid Hezekiah, as God's leader on earth, decided, well, I'll just show everything to the earthly government of Babylon. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they're come from Babylon. Then said he, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen. There's nothing among my treasures that I've not showed them. We have nothing to hide. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. When that word's used, you know that God in his power is being brought to attention. Lord of hosts, very specific name. He controls everything. He'd given Hezekiah and his people everything. And he had showed it to this. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. You're going to lose it all. I want to tell all the established churchmen that have such a continuing love affair with governmental agencies and the forerunners of Antichrist, because it's through the agency of government that Antichrist will take power. I want to tell all my establishment brethren, we have nothing to hide from God or our people. Any congregational polity church can stand the analysis of anybody. We just know from whence we get what we get, to whom we account, namely the Lord, and will not yield the ground. The Babylonians have any right to come in. The governmental agencies see it. I warn my establishment friend, as they yield the ground and fail to fight for the freedoms that churches have, you'll lose everything you got. What'd you show him? Isaiah said, everything. Okay, everything you showed him, you're going to lose. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. You may wonder why Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you never hear about their wives. Now you know. The loss of reproductive power. Your sons will be eunuchs and slaves to that government you showed everything to. I had not the slightest intention saying one word about this. I didn't even intend to go to Promise 44. I'm going there. But I'm telling you, God raised up a country, and I'm going to prove to you that it's in the Bible. The USA is in the Bible and not in the middle of Jerusalem, as one mocker of truth has said. It's only in J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M. God's not so dumb that he couldn't control history and plot prophecy and be surprised by the British Empire and the United States. It's there. You know, what about the Chinese government? The kings of the East are there. You don't have any trouble with that. You think God is so tunnel visioned that he can specifically foresee the role of Turkey and Libya and Ethiopia in the last days and totally have a blind spot for the British Empire and the United States? Never. And this great country was in God's plan, and God saw to it when exactly the time of punishment to the lost tribes had run, particularly Manasseh, that this unique country would come to birth, where the freedom of the people was protected by a God-ordained form of government, overruled by a document, a constitution that both the ruler and the ruled were submit to. Now, I don't need to fight those battles like I used to. We've sort of graduated from them. But I remind whomever needs to be reminded tonight, you give way to government. You show them what you don't have to show them. You will lose everything you've got, including your power to reproduce yourself. And to those people that know what we're doing, I'm guaranteeing we don't lose everything we have, and we don't die because we all become spiritual eunuchs. You ought to be glad for that. Now, anybody joining us at 10:30? Yeah, Rochester. I don't know why I made that speech tonight. God knows. Whoever needed it, take it. I didn't need it. We've been doing it for a long time. Tell them bureaucrats to go to hell. And we keep reproducing fine. And they don't know all our secrets. do they?
No, sir.
They ain't going to. You got a pastor, you think the government's got a police. You in sad shape, friend. There needs to be a return in this country to spiritual leadership that accounts to God and under shepherds that fear no one but God, and tell these pompous asteroid orifices that think they are the law, that are but hirelings who should be civil and are not, servant and are not, that eat away our tax dollars, that when they come to a church take their hat off and bow